right, everybody. Welcome to what we will be calling Wife Swapped Part 2. We are back again, swapping
part
wives.
Part two of a question mark part series.
Yeah, we don't know how many.
I don't know how long we're going to be doing a Wife Swap recap podcast, but basically it's like, you know, it's
as
like when you get
Brandon
a...
As Brandon thinks it's the best show ever made, which would probably be about 4 to 6 weeks.
I mean, it's definitely, you called it the spiciest show you've ever seen.
I mean, it's pretty nuts. It's but pretty picante.
Yeah. So this is, yeah, part two of part of like question mark parts, you know, but
why don't you introduce the guests, Brandon? Because I'm kind of the guest here.
I will introduce the guests because these two are, I think, well, Anna Saragina, first time guest.
First time.
Jamel, he's got two mics. Yeah. Back on the pod.
You got Anna on the show. First time Anna's on the show, you got her behind the paywall.
I mean, this
people
is
like, ain't nobody, come on,
this
son.
Is premium. This is premium stuff.
Yeah, it's premium blend. So.
There's gonna true, be yeah, true. This is premium blend.
I mean, it's really more of a compliment that's when you think about it. It's like we think that people would pay for her.
Yeah.
You know? If we kept her outside, it's like, real, oh, people wouldn't pay to listen to her. It's more of a compliment, you know? It's like
yeah, I get it. Yeah.
Anna's insights are important because she was the reason why this even started, why this series started, because I had posted the Mark McGrath thing, right? Mark McGrath wishing Jack a happy birthday on Cameo. We have since talked. He will be coming on the pod, future friend of the pod, Mark McGrath.
Very soon by the time this comes out.
Sound future, investment.
Future friend of the pod. He's coming on the pod. We are recording on August 4th. At 2 p.m.
2 p.m.
Damn.
It's locked into the Google Cal.
You promoted the recording time?
The time. Yeah.
I mean, it's in my calendar. I have a Mark McGrath-related Google calendar event, and that makes me very happy. This is
I'm giving them a peek behind the curtain.
Yeah, it's a major reverse bucket list item checked off, which is my reverse bucket list being... things that I didn't know I wanted to accomplish by the end of my life. You know, it's a list that I add to after I do the things, you know? And I'm like,
Absolutely.
Okay, I'm glad I did that. Even though I technically didn't think of it beforehand, it's now going on my bucket list, you know?
100%. So, and
that being said, so no Mark McGrath slander on this episode. He's
no Mark
future
McGrath
friend of the pod.
Absolutely.
Well, as we've discussed off pod, Mark McGrath, absolute angel in his celebrity wife swap episode.
Sweetie.
And the only reason why I know about his episode of celebrity wife swap is because of Anna. Anna introduced it to me. I was about to watch it by myself. And then I was like, well, I can't do that.
You need a companion, yeah.
Yeah, and so me and Jamel did watch this together. Mark McGrath and Coolio on celebrity wife swap. So that is what we will be discussing today is the Mark McGrath and Coolio episode of Celebrity Wife Swap. But there's also, we watched more.
There's
Me
more.
And Jamel
we're doing
watched
two
more.
Episodes today.
We did watch more.
You know, yeah.
So we're also
we'll discuss those as well.
Yeah. We'll also be discussing an episode featuring comedian Andy Dick and Lorenzo Lamas. Is that his name, Brandon?
Yeah,
Lorenzo
the renegade
Lamas.
Himself.
I mean,
yeah,
you guys
renegade.
Are talking about this guy like as if I should know who he is. Lorenzo Lamas, he was on a show called Renegade. I've never heard of it in my life.
I got to tell you, it's the perfect show to bag up weed to.
You've watched this show?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
In my heaviest trap days, I bought a digital antenna from Foreman Mills, which is Hood Big Lots. And I was just running episode. It would just always be on whenever I needed to like weigh
I mean,
out some weight.
Jamel has the wildest cultural diet of anyone I know.
Yeah.
Where he just exclusively watches like procedurals. He only watches like Ion.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
Packs. I think you still get an antenna where you still get packs.
I have that too, Jamel.
You can still watch packs.
they hack my antenna is jailbroken.
The jailbroken.
Jail.
Yeah,
I got
jailbroken
CISO
antennas.
On my shit.
You can get crazy
get
shit.
You got CISO?
Yeah,
oh,
yeah.
Man.
I get CISO, Holmes.
You get channels on those that like you're not sure if they're real channels or not. You wonder. you see them, you're like, right. Where are they broadcasting this from? Like, is this real or is it like some kid?
Every time I hit up Jamel, I'm like, oh, what are you doing, man? And he's like, oh, I'm ordering Chipotle on Uber Eats and watching Bounce Christ. TV 3.
Yeah.
Now, I've done that more. I only ordered Chipotle online one time.
I have shamed you for that because we do live in LA, and that is, I got so mad when there was a Chipotle in Echo Park because it's like next to like 500 Mexican-owned restaurants.
Finally, some authentic cuisine. Perfect.
And then, you know,
I'm not authentic at all. I'm a fucking fraud.
I mean, that's interesting that you think of it. I don't want to go on a Mexican food tangent, Brandon, but
yeah, hold on.
I don't even view those in the same category, you know?
View what?
Chipotle and like
look,
taco
man,
stands.
We don't got to think
about
it.
Different thing.
Jamel likes to eat play school fucking pretend Mexican food. Okay, we know that now.
I mean, it's like a good bowl, you know? You can't knock their
good
bowl.
Yeah. Come on, man. It's whole 30. Yeah. It's goddamn whole 30. What y'all want from me?
Keto Jamel. All right. Well, listen, we're not here to talk about Chipotle. We've gathered here today to talk about ABC's spinoff of their hit show Wife Swap, their hit spinoff Celebrity Wife Swap, season 2, episode 4, I believe.
Yeah. So let's see. We're going to start with the Coolio Mark McGrath one. For those of you who don't know, somehow, Mark McGrath, singer of the band Sugar Ray, with hit songs such as Fly, Every Morning, I mean, many others, bangers on bangers. I'm a big fan.
Someday.
Many others.
Yeah, he's
When
gonna,
It's Over?
He's been a host.
When It's Over.
When It's Over.
You know.
Great song.
He's hosted shows. He was once, you know, awarded many hot guy related awards, you know, number one hot guy hunk of the year. At one point was just the biggest heartthrob.
Who's giving out these awards
in the 90s, dude? That was like
number
the
one
Oscars
of
the 90s. Is you had like bleached hair awards and like ab related awards. Rolling Stone, like, you know, they'd have like hottest 100 guys, you know, like,
yeah,
that's what it was all about back then.
He had to have been on the People list at one point.
No, for sure. I think People magazine, 100%. Sweeping it. Yeah. But anyway, Mark McGrath, he swaps lives with Coolio, famous mostly for his hit song Gangster's Paradise. I mean, iconic. A rapper from Compton. Although probably, you know, probably not the first one you'd think of from Compton. Incidentally from Compton, you know?
Yeah. Maybe the fourth rapper I would think of from Compton.
Fourth. Is that fourth?
That's hot. Yeah. That's good.
I would say like sixth high. Or seventh.
It's really good. I thought
yeah.
Pennsylvania for sure.
Yeah.
I mean, most of our listeners would probably know him from the Keenan and Kel theme song.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, that's another
or
one.
Via Weird Al. Probably.
Oh, the Weird Al cover?
A decent amount.
I have a very big treat for you guys that I didn't tell you about that I'm waiting for the perfect moment to drop about.
Is it Coolio related?
It's 100% Coolio.
So are you dropping it now or are we like waiting for the treat?
I don't know.
This
I
is
mean,
a
how
teaser.
Do you want to build tension? I
let's
mean,
keep
yeah.
it going. Let's move on. We'll bring the treat later.
Yeah, whenever you're ready.
So this, I think these will be a little different than the last episode that we did because right off the top, Celebrity Wife Swap, I've noticed there's just some... First of all, it's a newer program, and it's different.
Yeah.
The biggest differences I noticed is that these are celebrities, so you would, even though all celebrities are freaks, the normal version of Wife Swap, like, they are sweeping the nation, combing it for the ripest freaks growing on the freak tree, and they're picking them and putting them at odds with each other. But this is, they're celebrities, so they're just like, they're weird, but also, you know, these people, we do know who they are. So it's completely the opposite. On normal episode of Wife Swap, it's freaks who want to be famous and they're kind of hamming it up. Now it's like Coolio and Mark McGrath, and they're both, they have public images. They make money off their public image and they're trying to be normal. They're like, oh, I'm just a good dad. And like, I don't do anything weird. Nothing weird here. Like, my house is clean. I'm regular.
Removing the artifice.
Yeah.
I don't think Coolio was attempting to look normal at all.
Not at all.
But no, Coolio at no point makes an attempt to seem normal.
No, but yeah, where that stood out to me was like when he talked to Mark McGrath at the end and they're really polite to each other and cool. I'm like, oh, yeah, they're not going to get mad at each other on TV. Like, they're not just going to start like a beef and have that be a tabloid item, you know? Yeah.
Although we are getting ahead of ourselves with the reunion.
Yes.
Absolutely.
I do have some thoughts about the reunion, but I do want to go chronologically.
Okay, so let's explain the situation. I'll be brief and let you guys jump in. So Mark McGrath, he's living in Southern California. Beautiful home.
In Studio City.
Studio City.
Beautiful home. It's right next to the
very interesting choice. Very
immediately sweetheart. Studio City sweetheart.
For non-Angelinos, would one of you guys want to describe Studio City in terms of like what part of town that is, what are the energies are?
Can I personal anecdote?
Please.
Is that okay?
Please.
Yes.
A woman's journey. I dated someone who lived in Studio City and he recently had been a juggalo. So I think that's a good...
been a juggalo?
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. And I think that that's perfect Studio City energy.
It's like the Indiana of LA.
Yeah.
So you're getting at
Studio City is definitely on the wrong side of the mountain. You know when you get over there that things are a little different now.
Well, yeah, it's over the mountain. It's near the studios. You would live over there if you work at one of the studios. It's like kind of a mix of there's some nice neighborhoods over there, but there's also like Universal Studios, the literal Universal Studios and the theme park. I'll leave Studio City at this. I believe that there is a large building. One of the tallest buildings has a giant minion on it.
Yes.
Yeah. So that is
in the mountains.
But also, a lot of pro skaters live in Studio City.
Yeah.
A lot of pro skaters. A lot of Disney actors on lean. A lot of Disney actors on
hard
drugs out there.
A lot of people with little teeth. I'm talking Disney little teeth fans.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, dolphin teeth, as they would say.
Dolphin teeth.
That's kind of, I mean, it's a nice area, but it's just strange. And then
it's just,
Coolio lives
valley suburb.
Coolio lives in Las Vegas, Nevada. I do not know why.
Yes.
Unclear why. He has like
worst place for him to be.
He has like a pretty nice
I think it's very clear.
Mark McGrath has a very nice home, I'd say. Like a big house. Coolio's house is also big. That being said, he lives in Las Vegas, so it probably costs $15,000 is what Coolio paid for that three-story home in the suburbs of Las Vegas. There are perks.
He traded it with one of those ladies who hands out the escort cards.
Yeah. I mean, it is an interesting choice.
We should mention that this episode of Celebrity Wife Swap is... They're pretty liberal with the use of wife.
That's
once you get to celebrity wife swap.
That's a theme I've
noticed. Wife swap. A
lot of girlfriends.
They're very traditional with the monogamous marriage, you know, nuclear family situation. Celebrity wife swap. You've got Coolio with his girlfriend,
who he immediately points out is his girlfriend and makes her point out she's his girlfriend. They're definitely not in a matrimony at all.
Absolutely not.
Not at all.
That's
and she works two jobs, which is very. She's a bartender and a dancer, and it's strange that, you know, I think it's great that she works those two jobs. But if you're gonna date, why would you date Coolio if you still have to work?
Exactly, and that's
and
a
Coolio,
theme in Celebrity Wife Swap that I've noticed in the episodes I've watched.
Yes,
there's been a lot of celebrities where it's like the celebrity is on their like fourth wife or something. And they have like a nice house and everything, but then they're like, yeah, this is my wife. She works construction to pay the bills. She's an underwater welder at night. And she just enlisted in the Marines to take care of me. But I'm still successful. I'm not struggling
at
all.
Coolio is by no means a provider.
No. But
he babysits sometimes.
Well,
hey,
yeah,
you're playing fast and loose with the term babysit. Yeah.
He sleeps until noon, and then he mostly just golfs with his boys.
Yeah, he golfs with the crew.
He really reclines on the couch. I mean, you know.
Yeah.
Oh, Yeah, you're using recline pretty loose as well. That man was zooted.
So Coolio, his, by the way, just completely bald shaved head now, except for a few strands of hair. He's always had wild hair.
Strategically placed. Don't just say strands like you got a comb over. He's got two
pigtails.
Like antenna pigtails.
Yeah.
Which
and
later,
he wears hats that are custom hats.
Yeah.
A custom Kangol?
He's wearing like a master's.
With a space? Yes. Oh my God. But his girlfriend's daughter at some point says, "You're little and you have pigtails." And I've never previously thought of his hair as pigtails. And I got to say, what a master of language that you
Yeah, the daughter absolutely had quips. Yeah. At one point, the 14-year-old daughter of his girlfriend goes,
"Majanique, shout out to Majanique."
Majanique fucking rocked. Dude, yeah. she was like, my ex-boyfriend. And then he's like, "How are you 14 with an ex?" And she's like, "How are you 50 and you don't have a wife?"
Yeah, whoa.
Yeah, I mean, look,
incredible stuff.
I support that. And also, as we find out, his girlfriend's actually a very great woman, I'd say. Like, she goes to live with Mark McGrath. Their whole thing is, like, it looks like Mark McGrath has a very loving, stable household that he's just like...
Yes.
I mean, when I watch it, I'm like, oh, yeah, this guy's, like, was spent his whole life in Sugar Ray. Like, I've been very outspoken on this podcast saying that Mark McGrath's lifestyle in 1998 to 2001 was probably just off the charts insane, right? Like, crazy on top of the world. And
you've been very open about this point.
I couldn't imagine.
So much private bowling. He was
he was in fucking Scooby-Doo.
Yeah. So I mean, to me, it's just like, now he's suddenly a suburban dad, and I bet he just kind of doesn't know what to do with himself, and he, like, just helps the kids too much. They say he's a helicopter dad, is basically. I mean...
Your Honor, his only crime is being too good, too present of a dad.
Yeah, he likes his kids too much.
The whole time, I'm like, kids too
come on,
much.
Is this, like, really bad? Like, you're complaining that Mark McGrath, who's the singer of a 90s alternative band... I mean, to me, he should get a medal for even being present in these kids' lives.
Like, I mean, that's fair.
He's now like that, defying the odds.
You're getting to some realness there. But I mean, if my dad was in like Cameo or some shit, I wouldn't want him all up my ass. Like, yo, take your fucking R&B ass into your own room, dude. Damn.
Yeah. So.
And by the way, I was rewatching this morning. The kids' names are Hartley and Layden or Lydon.
Wow. Oh yeah, okay. Lydon.
Yeah.
Okay, my man Lydon, very kind of the way he's expressing gender in a sort of very like queering the narrative kind of way. And the parents are very encouraging at a time when it was like, I don't know when this was recorded. I'm talking, I mean,
maybe 2013.
I missed that part. What was he doing?
Absolutely commend their parenting.
What was he doing? Wonder. What was Lydon doing? Or is this a joke that I'm not getting? I don't remember that part.
He's just like commonly wearing skirts and
okay.
I don't know, not... traditionally masculine outfits.
Got it.
Great.
Yeah. Lydon, we pat you on the back. So basically, yeah, this episode is mainly about there's Mark McGrath is there too much. He's like, you know, really on everybody's back too much. He's like worried all the time, over parenting. And then Coolio is literally not doing anything. He's going golfing, like makes his wife works overnight shifts at a place called Hookah Palace. Or his girlfriend, rather. His girlfriend. I mean, Julio's
not his wife. Coolio will make sure that you do not call her his wife.
Julio's biggest crime to me is letting his girlfriend work at a place called Hookah Palace. I mean, for me, it's like, if you could do one thing for the one you care about, it's to get them out of Hookah Palace and into your palace.
Right.
You know?
Well, that's something so wild about the whole Coolio and Coolio's girlfriend dynamic is that he hasn't earned the right to act like this, right? He hasn't like provided for her.
Yeah,
right? Like
he needs to take her out of the palace.
She works two jobs. The whole point of like the way people justify like a Tony Soprano lifestyle is to be like, oh, well, you know, I cheat on my wife. Yeah, I'm never there. But, like, I bought this big house and I pay for stuff. Coolio doesn't even do that.
Yeah.
But then again, those aren't his kids. Let us be
Jamel.
Those are not his Jamel, kids.
They
so this
his aren't kids. His kids.
So, Jamel, no. Keep going. I have something to say about this, too.
That's just an important note. There's a renter's agreement that I think we're missing here that Coolio's really leaning into.
Jamel, I had a full reversal. I have notes. In the beginning of my notes, I'm like, dude, Coolio sucks ass, man. That's one of my notes. Because he does suck ass. He's like a piece of shit in the beginning of this. And then, like, and I was thinking that during the golf. And then when there's a scene where the girlfriend's daughter, the oldest one, is like talking about, she's like, I don't really have a relationship with Coolio. I basically never see him. You know, I don't know him that well. He didn't come to my ice skating birthday party. And when she was calling him Coolio, it hit me. I'm like, wait, I think this might be more of the girlfriend's fault for dating Coolio. Because you don't accidentally date Coolio. Yes. It's sort of just like, wait, why is this woman dating Coolio? Like this, you dated Coolio and you saw this and it's like, yeah, maybe I shouldn't date Coolio. It's not like you accidentally found out he's Coolio. You know what I'm saying?
Well, you never forget that it's Coolio because his girlfriend and her kids only call him Coolio. I still do not know Coolio's first name and I have not looked it up.
Okay,
regularly refers to himself as Coolio, so they're Coolio-based statements. Coolio does not go ice skating. Coolio thinks ice skating is dangerous,
which is fucking ridiculous. Your name is Coolio, dog. You should be on some ice, bro. What the fuck? Don't keep calling yourself Coolio if you're not comfortable around ice.
Truly,
yeah.
You got a government name, man. Dang.
Before they swap wife and girlfriend, you do get a glimpse into their home life. And inside the Coolio household, you see, you know, Coolio, he's chilling on the couch. He's not really getting involved. And the girlfriend, Coolio's girlfriend is like in the kitchen. And at one point she has a bowl of hot dogs on the kitchen table, and the little boy just squirts a bunch of ketchup into this bowl of hot dogs.
Despicable.
Sure, I don't know why there was a bowl of hot dogs.
Yeah, never. But, there's never a need to put hot dogs in a bowl.
No.
I've never seen hot dogs in a bowl.
At some point, the boy asks Coolio to go get him hot dogs, plural, and Coolio says, Coolio does not go get hot dogs. So,
oh, yeah, Coolio says... Yeah, Coolio's a cook, not a server.
Jamel's dying over
it's
there.
It's a line.
By the way, that's a really funny rule, a permanent rule to have set for yourself is that you don't. That's one thing I do is go get hot dogs. I have never done it, and I never will get hot dogs, okay?
And with regards to Coolio in the kitchen, there's like a scene where he's making dinner. He's taking too long. It's like approaching 10 p.m. The kids are hungry. The girlfriend's hungry. And at one point, there's like a testimonial with the little kid, where the little kid's like, Coolio needs to cook faster.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I think this is a really good time for me to unveil my fact.
Okay.
Actually.
Oh, yes.
Because
please.
At some point, he says you'll find out is a titular line called, he says, this is Cooking with Coolio. Now, there is a very short-lived show called Cooking with Coolio, in which Coolio tried to, kind of bring a just your regular average Cooking with a Celebrity style show to the people. I forget it wasn't on YouTube. There's a very specific video content page that dishes this out, but he tried to make a catchphrase happen. The catchphrase was Shaka Zulu. And he has like women come stand uncomfortably behind him, and he has a sous chef, but he's making things like a caprese salad, and the result is lackluster at best. I'll be very honest with you. So okay. I haven't looked at the timeline, so I don't know if he debuted the phrase Cooking with Coolio on Celebrity Wife Swap and used it as a sort of soft launch pad, or if it was sort of maybe a soft reference to the past, but you know, that's something you guys could look up.
Oh, wow. We will dive into this.
Wow.
Coolio used this terrible showing as a launch pad for something big.
Oh, it was a launch jumping off.
I'm going to look up the years. I'm going to look up the years right now.
Like, potentially like, the worst showing in Celebrity Wife Swap history. He thought.
And he's like,
you know what? I think I got something.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, like that episode was.
Yeah.
That Perhaps. Episode. Oh, interesting.
That is so Perhaps. Funny. Like he loved it like, so much.
Yeah. So.
So basically.
Okay. So.
You can keep looking that up. Yeah, we'll proceed.
Yeah, his takeaway from being a terrible father was I should start a cooking show.
Yeah. So. I got. Coolio likes going out golfing with his boys, which shout out to Coolio for like having a crew in Vegas, like a daytime crew. I like that he's not young, but he has the boys. To have the boys at his age is good. I mean, you're doing good.
Yeah.
They golf at a golf course that's like barely a golf course. It's like dirt. It's a brown golf course. The
well,
grass
he's
is entirely
posted
dead.
Up at like Top Golf or whatever.
He's in Vegas.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, guys. I have devastating news though. Cooking with Coolio was a short-lived show from 2008, and the Celebrity Wife Swap episode is from 2013.
Oh.
Meaning
oh, so
that
like,
he was
it.
Mournfully looking to his past.
Okay.
Perhaps looking to revive some interest and pitch to a new network. So you know.
He's trying to reheat, anyway. If you will.
Yeah.
Pun intended.
Same old tube just reheated. Exactly. Yeah.
Throw it back on. So yeah, I was saying way a while ago is that at a certain point I realized I'm like, oh, maybe this isn't really Coolio's fault. Maybe it's even weird for him to be on this show, presented in a way where he's like obligated to be raising the kids of like this girl he's just dating and like letting live in his house. We don't really know the situation. So I at a certain point I flipped and I'm like, maybe this isn't Coolio's fault. Maybe like he shouldn't even be on camera right now. Like this is literally, maybe he's being generous by letting her stay at his house with her kids. You know, I have no idea, but I switched and I'm like, yeah, maybe it's the fault of, these children's mom, like maybe she just shouldn't be dating Coolio at all. Maybe she should break up with him and be not having them live in Coolio's house, you know?
Yeah, I mean...
Look, if your lease is up and Coolio walks into your hookah lounge...
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Is this just something to consider, bro? That's all.
You know?
Yeah.
You hit the hookah hard enough.
Yeah.
You gotta... Yeah, Google power dynamics, Jack.
Well, you know, I quite, you know, I'm telling
she's
you.
She's helpless under the power of Coolio's clout.
Think so?
I happen to think she's just running the show.
I think she's running
like,
the show, too.
I'll do everything. Yeah. You just stay in bed. I don't pay rent.
Wait, what if?
And she's just saving two paychecks.
She's got to pay rent. She works two jobs.
Wait, also, we don't
she's
know.
She's saving
yeah,
all
why
that dough, man.
Why,
she's
yeah,
saving all
maybe
that
she's
dough.
Saving
she's,
up.
Coolio still hasn't spent his fantastic voyage money. Y'all need to put some respect on Coolio's name.
Maybe I need to check my mail privilege right now and rethink the fact that I just assumed it was his house. Like I assumed.
No, you're actually right because.
What if it's her house? We don't know.
We won't discuss the end, but at the end.
Okay.
There's a
yeah,
fact.
Yeah.
Oh, I missed this fact. See, I had to
but
plow
then
through.
There's
these.
Even more after that. That me and Jamel found.
We did.
Found
we uncovered
more
a third layer.
Okay.
Yeah,
afterwards.
A third
so
layer.
let's keep cruising. So basically, what happens is like you know they learn some like kind of mild lessons. There's like a sit down. Feel free to chime in if you have any more details. You the. Coolio's girlfriend teaches Mark McGrath, like, hey, you know, you don't have to sleep with your kid instead of your wife. Like, he's old enough to sleep by himself.
Oh, like, well, yeah, I will say with regards to that, very funny testimonial from Mark McGrath where he's like, they finally put the kid to sleep by himself for the first time in months. This kid has not slept by himself. Mark has to sleep with him at night for him to go to sleep. And this is the first night where they've put their kid to bed, and he goes to sleep. And Mark, he's given a testimonial, and he goes, "Yeah, you know, it's good that you know he's finally going to sleep by himself, because I'd really like to sleep in bed with my wife again, if you know what I mean."
Hey, you know what?
Come on, Mark.
Classic dad humor.
I was like, buddy, I know exactly what you mean, buddy.
Mark,
good. Yes.
Mark forgot he had a penis. He was so worried about his kids dying, he forgot he had a dick entirely.
But completely unrelated to what you're talking about, I do want to point out Mark McGrath, very well dressed.
That wasn't in my notes.
Really?
But
hey,
for dad?
Y'all should have told me how pro Mark McGrath this was going
to
be.
Well, what do you have some anti stuff to say? I'll edit this out.
No.
I mean, oh, I'm saying,
I got beef. No, I got Mark McGrath slander for days. I thought that's why y'all brought me here.
Like, you could say it. You have the freedom to say it. I will edit it out, though. This is a pro Mark McGrath podcast. It will be edited out.
I only have one issue with anything that Mark McGrath said in this episode.
Oh, I think I know
what
it is.
I will say that. Yeah, towards the end, but...
Okay. Yeah, well, I mean, you mentioned it to me, and then I interpreted it a different way when we got there, but... So, they learn some lessons. He learns that, and then, like, she has to sit down with Coolio and is like, realizes that he didn't grow up with a dad. His dad was in jail, so, like, maybe he doesn't even know how to really be a father figure. And she's like, you should be around more. And he's like...
Yeah, she kind of does some like therapy style stuff, which he does not take too well.
No, he's
which
like
he's eating. He's actually a little busy.
You're getting too personal.
And by the way, not to criticize the way a man is eating. I know that's private and women should stay out, but the way he's eating is repugnant at best. It's just abhorrent. Absolutely abhorrent.
Oh my god.
Yes.
Eating. He's constantly wiping. He's while he's saying, "I don't want to connect." You know. And then he wipes about 5 more times, and then he excuses himself for a second, and then it's up to her to clean up.
All because Mark McGrath's wife asked him if he had a dad.
Yeah,
I know. Don't ask.
Just
ask
him, like, do you have a problem with expressing affection? And he's like, I can't do this. Like, she's like, I guess I got to clean up these plates because I asked about his relationship with his father.
Coolio, have you ever felt anything before? Shut up. Don't ask me.
Yeah. He gets so mad.
Yeah. Oh, but
those birds are a cry.
By the way,
and mind you,
go ahead.
I just want to say that the night before, if we can all famously remember, he took about 4 hours to cook. So she actually went to her bartending at the Hookah Lounge shift entirely hungry. You know,
oh, yes.
So now she's watching him not only eat, but walk, you know, she has to clean. She can't even catch up in last night's dinner. I mean, it's just very complicated.
It's a big mess.
Relationship with food.
Tough.
Yeah.
No, that's not good.
I also want to point out that Mark McGrath, I believe Mark McGrath Sr., lives with the family and his mom. Is it his parents or is it his wife?
I think that's her parents.
That's her parents.
No, that's her parents.
And they just have
because the grandma looks just like this lady.
Okay,
like, it's spooky.
Well, there's like there's an old man who's very very pleasant looking in like a pork pie hat who's just kind of like there the whole time, and he like chimes in just being like, "Now that's what I'm talking about. Like, I could get behind that." Yeah. Like, and you can't forget he's there until they cut to him.
That's an incredible part of the episode where, like, there'll be some sort of like small change in the household, and he'll be like, "Now that's what I call parenting."
Yeah. So, we have another episode to discuss. So let's get to the reunion. So they finally meet up, and we get to see Mark McGrath and Coolio. Which normally this is really awkward when this happens on the shows because it's two strangers meeting that like traded wives. And
they usually hate the other wife.
Coolio and Mark McGrath like have met each other at the VMAs in 98 or whatever. And they're like, "Yo, man," like they're doing like the celebrity thing. Be like, "What's up? How's it going, man? It's been a long time." Like
they did music festivals together.
Yeah. They, like,
Coolio made sure to point out that like I'm definitely familiar with Mark McGrath. When my song Gangster's Paradise was quite popular, I believe he was getting his start as well. Right. Yeah. Then, yes.
You can these two. You could tell that these two actually know who each other is. The episode that we're about to talk about is really, really funny. Because like you could tell neither of them knew who each other was, and one of the wife picks up a picture and she goes, "Oh my god, I can't believe it. It's comedian Andy Dick." Like you could tell that she read it off of a page. But anyway, so
but yeah, these two have but
I'll let you guys take
I
this
I do want to say regarding the reunion there, and because we've mentioned that they have a prior history, these two were contemporaries, you know, they were like, and you know, they know each other, but Mark and his wife are at the reunion sitting down first, and Mark is like, "Oh, I'm kind of worried, he's from Compton." And I was like, whoa, You know this guy.
Well,
yeah.
This is like a peer of yours.
You said that, and you told me about this, and then I saw it, and when I saw it, I took it a completely different way because you were I don't know what you were implying, but I think he was saying that like Coolio.
I don't know what he was implying.
Yeah, I mean it was pretty weird. I think maybe I'm being too easy on Mark, but I think he was just making like a bad tough guy type joke.
Yeah, that's a weird thing to say.
Yeah, I know. Maybe I'm.
Yeah, that's exactly what I thought he was saying, and that's a weird thing for Mark McGrath to say.
It's still weird.
You know, about like a guy that he knows. He did fucking 1998 Summerfest in Milwaukee with this man.
Wait, is that a true?
And all he had to say was, I'm worried Coolio's super strange. And I would have been fine with it.
Have you seen his hat? Brandon, are you going to use the privilege of your platform to directly address this and maybe explain?
To Mark?
Historically? Yeah, I mean... Just wondering, maybe we
got to talk about the celebrity wife swap episode.
You don't cancel Mark McGrath for mentioning Compton aloud, we gonna have some problems, Brandon.
Yeah, no, it's gonna be a baited with Z Way style show.
Yeah, if you don't blog trap Mark McGrath.
See, you told me about it before, and it was like. A real quick line, too. I'm, like, surprised they threw it in.
What was the editor thinking?
I was, like, a little more...
Yeah, that should not have stayed in the edit.
Like, I was expecting a full cringe, but I'm just sort of like, that's just kind of a weird moment that, like, they maybe shouldn't have put in. You know, I don't really know the context of how he said it.
Because for the most part, he's an angel in the episode. As Anna said, his only crime is loving too much.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah, he's fucking great. Coolio, I guess, eventually reaches a breakthrough where he's like, I guess I should hang out with these kids a little bit. And he's convinced to go ice skating. He does eventually go ice skating.
Yeah, which
watching
is pretty
and he enjoys himself. Watching ice skate is truly, truly up there as one of life's greatest pleasures, is watching Coolio ice skate.
Yes.
Yes.
But at the reunion, they mention this. Mark McGrath's wife mentions that Coolio went ice skating. And his girlfriend's like, yeah, that's never going to happen again. He's never going to do that. But at the end, you do see, like, they check in and it says, like, despite Coolio's efforts to improve and be more selfless, they have broken up.
Oh, no.
And then it's a shot of this, like, single mom with her kids in the apartment. But, Jamel, you looked into this more. And tell them what you found.
Basically, I believe they got back together for the sake of television. They are on a Oprah Network marriage counseling show.
Oh, wow.
The episode aired like March 20th this year. So they're back.
This year.
So if you want to update to the update, holler at OWN Network.
I will.
And if you want an update on the other side of things, just listen to Yeah But Still main feed non-Patreon episode coming soon featuring Mark McGrath.
Future friend of the pod.
Yeah.
August 4th,
and then hopefully
2
we gotta
p.m.
Get...
August 4th, 2 p.m. We will be Zooming with Mark McGrath on August 4th at 2 p.m.
We will hopefully maybe get Coolio one day too, you know?
And for you hyper fans, that means don't text these niggas at that time. Somebody's going to try to hit you up right at that time, and they're marking it down right now. Fucking keep that shit to yourself.
Oh, no.
They are busy.
Yeah, it'll be on Do Not Disturb mode.
Thank you, Jim.
I
just want to be clear, because I know niggas is marking it in their calendar, too, now.
Text Brandon.
Y'all need to calm down.
So anything else to say about these two? I mean, what are your final thoughts before we move on to the doozy of this?
Any miscellaneous thoughts regarding Mark McGrath and Coolio's episode of Celebrity Wife Swap?
I hope Coolio is not popping pills anymore. He's clearly on something.
We talked about this. you were like he's high as shit this whole time. He's definitely like, you know, whatever. And I was like, there's got to be a third thing in the mix for sure. Yeah.
It ain't just weed and alcohol.
No.
And he seems too sleepy for it to be like Molly or something, but he does strike me as a guy who still calls it ecstasy and does it.
It's a different strain. Oh yeah, we were talking.
He's just on ecstasy, cooking like chicken parmesan for 8 hours.
He's off two blue dolphins.
Excuse me, a can of what kind of soup did he dump on his chicken?
Cream of yellow.
Oh. Of course, yes. I'm an idiot. I'm an idiot. Of course.
I mean, we were talking about Coolio's drug habits when we watched that shit, and I made the point that like he's not taking Molly at night. He's taking like ecstasy, but he's taking like weird ecstasy pills that like have those cartoon characters on them.
Like vintage. He's got getting fucking, the vintage.
Yeah, he's got
collection.
Like Louis Anderson, like baby Louis, on the fucking on the ecstasy pills. Yeah.
He's on the alien. He's doing the alien. You know, like the Animaniacs. He's print.
Yes. The Looney Tunes Martin kind of cartoon.
Yeah, he has an ecstasy seller.
The Rugrats breed. Yeah,
he has an ecstasy seller with vintages of like 99 vintage. Yeah. Yeah. 98 vintage, a drawer maybe. Yeah. Temperature.
Shout out to all
the
pill press guys. Yep. All my pill press guys out there.
All my pill press guys.
Doing that work, doing the Lord's work for us.
So, all right, moving on, I guess.
Oh, Anna, any miscellaneous thoughts?
No real miscellaneous thoughts. I love, absolutely love the parents. I love when the daughter says, "You're short and have pigtails." I think that's awesome. Mm. I love the custom hacked hats. I love the whole thing. And I mean, true love wins at the end. And we didn't even talk about Mimi, the girlfriend's eyebrows. And I think that's very respectful. And I think that's awesome.
Oh, that is very respectful.
Very respectful.
Well, I didn't want to get into... I wanted to reserve all of my slander in that episode for Coolio.
Nice. I agree.
Yeah.
So
that's it.
Moving on, this next episode, I've teased it, but it's comedian Andy Dick and Lorenzo Lamas. Lorenzo Lamas. I think this one's most striking. Okay, so Andy Dick. I mean, if you don't know who Andy Dick is, I don't think there's a way to explain Andy Dick. Like... just a tour de force of a train wreck. I don't know.
Did you hear those
there
sirens?
He goes.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
Who's that? They're going for Andy?
As soon as you started talking about Andy Dick, the sirens started blaring outside my spot.
I'm getting a helicopter.
That's yours? That's a lot of sirens, too. That's like that's like 5 stars Grand Theft Auto. 100%. Yeah. So I'll explain this unless one of you guys wants to take this. Of the living situations, or feel free to jump in. So Andy Dick, once again, bending the rules. Andy Dick lives with his baby mama from like the 90s, who seems like a very sweet woman. He lives in her driveway in an Airstream. And I think she says that like he lives in an Airstream because of certain choices that he's made. Andy said he's been to rehab 13 times, which is impressive. Yes. And okay, I wrote this down. So there's 4 girls that live with his baby mama, and they're very cute, by the way. They're all very adorable. They're like preteens, I'd say, and they seem like very sweet
kids.
Very
well-adjusted.
Well-adjusted. And then he says, and their mom seems normal, too. For being Andy Dick's kids, they seem very well-adjusted. They're like more mature than him. And then, but he says this comment that stuck out to me. He goes, one of 4 kids is biologically mine, but I've kind of adopted them unofficially, you know, and taken them under my wing. And I just started thinking, I'm like, okay, so only one of the 4 kids are his. What? Who's this other dad? And how bad is he to get to the point where Andy Dick taking them in is like a better situation than whatever else that is, or no dad
up.
At all.
Old boy died in the war. That's what that
like
was.
Andy Dick.
And you know, and you're missing the only way you can rebel as a child if Andy Dick is your dad is to like have good grades. Mm-hmm. Andy Dick's running around doing poppers every fucking night.
I mean, like,
get a lacrosse scholarship. That'll really piss him off.
For those of us who don't know Andy Dick, like, in LA, I feel like everybody knows somebody who has a story of just like Andy Dick, yes. A funny yes. Andy Dick story, which is basically Andy Dick committing sexual assault, usually on another yes. guy. Yeah. Just like, no, yeah,
he
dude.
Tried to fuck Brandon right
yeah,
in front
like,
of me.
The stories are always like, yeah, dude, like I was in the bathroom and like Andy Dick came in and asked if I had any coke. And then he just grabbed my dick while I was peeing and like made me pee on the wall and laughed and then ran out. And it was so funny. I'm like, yeah, what
I mean,
the fuck?
I heard one that was the person was like, I was swimming in the ocean, and then I looked to my left, and there was Andy Dick also in the ocean, and he asked to blow me.
Hell
in
yes.
the ocean.
Yeah, none of the things that you're describing are assault.
Yes. This is,
he did ask.
Brandon,
yes.
I mean, Brandon famously has a questionable definition.
That's why Andy Dick is fucking bulletproof against me too, because he's just like, his numbers are so crazy in terms of just like out of pocket behavior, where it's just sort of like, they tried it. I remember there was some article about like Andy Dick like sort of like coming on to people on set or whatever, and he in response was just like, yeah, I don't know, I'm lonely and horny. What?
Brandon has the same type of position towards comedians getting fired or canceled about that stuff that like police union reps have about like anytime there's something going on with the cops.
Oh,
just like,
nah, yeah,
no,
that's
they,
for sure. No.
Look, you don't understand the situations these guys go through. You couldn't understand their behavior.
It's just what happens when you're in a group. Cause I have the same thing with Louis Farrakhan. I'm like, all right, I know he's bad, but calm down. Everybody relax. Just relax for a second.
Yeah.
If he wasn't black, I wouldn't say these things.
By the way,
I'm saying this is somebody who has had my ear licked by Andy Dick, and I didn't ask for that. I didn't want my ear licked by Andy Dick. I'm just backstage. I'm an 18-year-old high school senior backstage at the Bridgetown Comedy Festival in 2011.
Oh no!
And you know, he
my baby
he,
boy
before
no.
he was about to go on. I mean, there's a lot to that story where like somebody handed me an edible and then he like saw me holding an edible. I had maybe smoked weed like a few times in my life, had never had an edible before. I didn't know what it did to people. Somebody hands me an edible. He comes up to me. He's like, oh, what? Hey, what's up? Can I buy that? I'm like, yeah, okay. Like I got this for free. I don't have money. I'm a high school student. I go to his hotel room,
I shouldn't
have done that, but nothing happened.
Okay,
nothing happened.
Okay.
Basically, I went to his hotel room and then he has like an assistant there and he's like, oh, I don't have any cash. Can you give him cash? He hands me $20. He eats the edible, whole thing. Couple hours pass. We're both at this show. He's backstage about to go up. I think it just hit and... He was booked under the premise that he was sober. Everybody was like, "Oh, he's sober now."
Oh wait, so
he's gonna
you
be on his best
you
behavior.
Knocked him off the rails, Brandon?
Yeah,
I didn't mean
you're
to.
Not,
I didn't mean
really
to.
Burying
I didn't know.
The lead,
I didn't
by
know.
The way.
This is the Bridgetown where Andy Dick relapsed.
Oh yeah.
Oh man.
The one where he like
oh,
didn't
no.
he
Brandon,
he was
wait,
just wandering around
forever,
Portland
bro.
For like a week. I didn't know.
Nah.
I didn't mean to.
Nah,
I didn't
he
mean
got
to
every,
do that. No,
I'm not even going to put this on you, Brandon.
That's
you should have been
you.
Licking your ears, bro. Hey, he, you know what I'm saying? That's on him, bro.
This is still
why are you
sold.
Licking on a teenager?
Why are you licking
before
on a teenager?
I've ever had an edible in my life, I was handed an edible. I had the opportunity for profit presented to me. I handed him an edible. I was up $20. And then all of a sudden, years later, I'm hearing rumors like Brent Weinbach was like, oh, yeah, I heard you were selling acid.
Oh, oh my God.
And I was like, what?
No, you were getting groomed. Like, honey, you're getting groomed.
I was
okay.
getting. Yeah, exactly.
Rough,
wait,
exactly.
Wait,
but
Brandon, pause. What year did you say this was?
Yes. 2011.
Brandon, I just Googled this. You're telling this story as if you're the main character and this is all something that happened to you, like how Andy Dick was weird to you.
No, I'm not.
You definitely. He was a missing person a couple days later, he was a missing person. And you possibly sent him down that spiral. You flicked the marble down.
Andy's the grown up there.
He's the grown up.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And they tracked him
I was
down.
In high school.
Did you hear that they tracked him down through Twitter because people in Portland were like, oh, I had a weird Andy Dick sighting where he just passed out in this elevator that I'm also in. And then that's how people were able to, like, you know, I'm talking serial season three him. Just what I will by say, various Twitter locations.
What's most wandering around Portland.
What's most shocking to me is that you still ended up smoking weed after that. Like, how how can you even like weed after you watched a man's
you
whole
would
life?
I think I'd just be fall apart. Completely off. Well, it's not like he had that one edible and then he just like went missing.
Yeah.
Like, I think it clearly led to some other
things
happening. We
don't know necessarily.
Yeah.
So, no, dude, one edible?
Like, that show.
I mean, this is like the equivalent of being like, you remember that year, the big California wildfires in Malibu? Like, yeah, weird coincidence is that I left a campfire unattended overnight in Malibu around then. And it was a crazy thing that happened to me. You know, I went back and I couldn't get in, but damn, it was so scary for a second. Anywho.
Well, yeah, so 2 hours later, the edible has kicked in and then we're at this show and then he like pulls me in and he's like, "Hey, Brandon, let me give you some advice. Okay, never plan anything." And then he like licks my ear and then goes up on stage at like a storytelling show and he's just like really off.
God
off
damn,
the edible
the moth,
horror.
The
he's
moth
doing this
show?
At the moth? He's doing yeah. this to us? Wow. Okay.
And, rough, you know, it was, he had like an off-kilter set. And then that's when sort of the organizers of the festival were like, "Oh, I don't, maybe Andy Dick isn't sober." And then he kind of started progressively doing like wilder and wilder shit. I heard at one point he jumped into the same bathroom stall as Eric Andre. Was doing some, was being wild.
He's
just all weekend, but
incense peppermints at this point. Yeah. He's out. Yeah.
Yeah. I got blamed for that shit though, because I found out years later after having moved to LA, after having, I was still living in DC at that time. I did stand up for a couple more years in DC, eventually moved out to LA and I've been in LA for a couple of years. Things are going all right. I call my agent like, "Hey, can I get on Bridgetown this year? I want to do Bridgetown. I haven't done the Bridgetown in years." And then I get a call back a couple hours later like, "Hey, you're actually banned from Bridgetown. There's some sort of situation with Andy Dick? Question mark."
Oh my God.
And I was like,
that being said, I would have to ban you.
I'm in the clear. I should not have been banned from Bridgetown.
Legally, I know, but I don't know. I'd have had to email you, dog. Like, just try one of the other 10,000 festivals.
Andy
Maybe
Wood
not.
At a fucking barbecue without side eyeing that man since. Ever since, I'm like, you know me. You know this is that is wild for the crimes of. You know, just because Andy Dick went missing, now I'm banned from this comedy festival. Well, the comedy festival doesn't exist anymore, so maybe they shouldn't have banned me.
Yeah, just for the small crime of unlocking the gate to the lion cage, I am now banned from the zoo. It makes no sense.
I don't know, man. I was in high school.
Giving alcohol
okay?
to the donkey in a petting zoo. I am now banned. I don't get it. It's the donkey's fault for drinking it.
I knew no better. I didn't know what I was.
I think we found our Patreon preview clip for the episode. By the way, this is a doozy.
Yeah. Okay, Brandon. You starting stand up as a kid, man. It's such a thin line because were a kid. Mm-hmm. But then it's just like mad older dudes like. Trying to lean on you, but it's like you're a child.
Yes.
I don't know whose fault
exactly.
it is
oh
in any
God.
Of these.
Hey, so, welcome to reality, boys. Okay?
So
wow.
let me bring us all back to reality. Let's go back. Let's finish this episode of the actual wife swap real quick.
Oh yes,
I know. Well, we have to do it, even though I like these tangents. So let me just give my thoughts. And I'm gonna let you guys cook. Okay, I'm gonna give you guys a few details. So Andy, I'll give you my overview essentially. So Andy's living in the trailer. He has this girlfriend who's he met in rehab show or in rehab.
Yeah.
Right. I know you have some thoughts about her, Brandon.
His girlfriend is wild.
Yeah. Yes. We'll talk about her in a second. The opposite side, Lorenzo Lamas, whatever. He's on his fifth wife. What I want to say about that is, at what point do you just give up on the concept of marriage? You know, at which number? I mean, I'm not saying like don't be with women or continue, but it's like you need to keep the marrying title isn't working out for you. Maybe it's even cursed. I think at number three is when you stop, right?
I mean, I don't know. I think that at a certain age, you can't be a guy with girlfriends anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah, but
I think like married. He's yeah
about
that.
But I mean,
yeah. Me and Jamel talked about this because it's weird to me when you meet like a fucking 45, 50 year old that's like, oh, this is my girlfriend.
Yeah, but it's
never,
like,
it never feels right.
Okay, man.
But Brandon, is it? Does it really make a difference if you're also a 50 to 60 year old guy who has neon beer signs and a pool table in his family room, where he
is
raising
right.
a family?
Look, I don't
has
I don't
like
know,
neon
I'm not defending that.
Bush bush
all
light
these lines
signs.
Are thin, man.
Yeah. So the summary of him is he's dating a 26 year old. Woman who does bottle service at night, which once again, common theme, why is she doing bottle service? Like, why does she have to work? Or
that's where right. they met, man.
She yeah,
I don't understand why these girls are wifing up like washed up celebrities but not even having the benefit of like not having to work.
And it's like
it doesn't make sense.
There's a lot of people who want to continue working, but they continuously express that their job is a disappointment and hardship in their life about how much they don't want to do it. And it's a bad part of their marriage. Like, he doesn't understand how hard and awful my job is and I have to be there all night. It's just like, come on, can he? He's like, he's riding motorcycles and like helicopters. Like, if he just didn't take helicopter lessons, she probably would be able to not do her bottle service job.
Although if you watch 90 Day Fiance, you'll learn that older men, by the time they're on their fifth spouse, typically have a more, we'll say, conservative relationship toward sharing money and welfare. So yes. Outside research will show you.
You leave with what you came in with, okay?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I forgot about all that, the assets of it all. Yeah, maybe he shouldn't have another wife.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
because then the half keeps getting smaller.
Yeah, just half.
Oh, man.
So I want to give you guys this fact before I resign to your thoughts. I just want to read this straight from Wikipedia. This is about because I mean, five wives is like a lot, right? So just
that's a whole basketball team worth of wives.
I know. That's a full court right there.
You can put all your wives on the floor.
And I think he should. But here's this fact is another reason why that would get confusing on the team. Here it is. After 5 months of dating, Lamas married his fifth wife, Shauna Craig, in Cabo San Lucas, Mexico. He told reporters that he would change his name to Lorenzo Lamas Craig. The decision was motivated by the fact that his previous wife, Shauna, kept the surname Lamas and is legally named Shauna Lamas. And his new bride, Shauna, was given the name as a homonym. So his ex-wife is Shauna with a U, A-U-N-A. His new wife is A-W-N-A, and they have identical names, except for one letter.
Look,
and then, so
Lorenzo's
he's got
a simple
type.
Man, yeah.
So he changed it, and then how long after? Not long after, they filed for divorce, citing irreconcilable differences. So if you've married two Shaunas, you fucked up. You fucked up somewhere along the way, you know?
Yeah.
When you're on your second Shauna, like, I mean...
Yeah, that's definitely where you need to pull
dating
up.
Two Shaunas, sure. Marrying,
and that's a great moth story.
Yeah,
you know? I was in the middle of my second Shauna when I realized.
Exactly.
Damn.
What do you guys want to add to this? I mean,
that's
Andy's lifestyle is a lot to unpack.
Mike Birbiglia, one man show. My two Shaunas.
My two Shaunas.
Hell yeah. Mike Birbiglia sleep with two hoes named Shauna. Let's go.
So what do you want to say about basically like Andy lives a very strange lifestyle. He seems to be on the up and up.
Very strange life.
Like coming out, he seems like fresh out of rehab energy. Like he makes a lot of green juices.
Well, he doesn't make it. His girl does.
Yeah.
His baby mama makes green smoothies for him every morning.
She seems
he's in an airstream.
Yeah.
He's only in the air
spot.
He's in the airstream so he could just like have chicks in the airstream.
Yeah.
Is that the only reason he has the airstream? Okay.
Well, his girl, but his girl is like, she's one of those like LA types where it's like, oh, they clearly want to be famous, but there's like, you know, there's a lot of things off with them and, you know, there's whatever, you know, but she's very unstable. She acts in a way that is, you know, she's going wild a lot.
It was
and
the
he's
heels
talking
for
about
me.
It.
Cocktail dress.
Yeah.
You come to the house in a cocktail dress.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like, I don't
at
know.
One point he's talking about his relationship and he's like, you know, it's a high octane relationship. You know, it's, she's kind of high maintenance, but you know, that's what it's like dating a model. And then you like, look at her and you're like, this definitely isn't a model.
She paid for professional photos and there's a very big difference.
Yeah.
I don't doubt that she has paid for photo shoots.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure.
It's the opposite of modeling.
But
yeah. Andy Dick living the dream. Girlfriend with a wife on the side. That's a classic. That's a great joke from Next Friday that really withstands the test of time.
And also, I mean,
absolutely.
An Airstream on the side of the house specifically, you know? And by the way, so a couple things I want to point out, like they continuously in this show reference Andy's Airstream situation because the wife leaves. Of course, the wife is the reason he's in the Airstream. She says that, like, you know, it's because of decisions he's made, and they keep bringing it up. You know, the swapped wife brings it up in the context of like, Andy, you are like aren't paying attention to the kids. You need to move into the house and like, you know, come into the house. You need to stop living in an Airstream, as if it's Andy like wanting his own space. And I'm quite sure he's banned from the house because of benders he's gone on. And that's why he's like lives in a dog, like a human dog house. Like, I'm pretty sure he's just permanently out there because of bad things he's done. Am I right? Like, in thinking this?
I mean, I agree.
Yes.
He keeps mentioning the Airstream with having sentimental value, but I'm pretty sure he is in adult timeout as well.
Yeah. And like, I don't think he's,
yes,
they keep, like, one of the rule changes is that he has to move back in the house. I'm sure he's deep down very happy about that. But I also think that's like probably the one thing that his baby mama does not want is like, yeah, you know, Andy is not allowed to live here. I bet he's like, I think of it as like in the Wire season one, I think, when like Bubbles goes to live with his sister and she's like, you could tell he's burned her many times. And she's
keep him in the basement.
You could go in the basement through the back door, but if my children see you, you're gone. That's it. If they even see you, if we make a noise, like, I think that's the living situation that Andy Dick is under right now. You know,
I mean, I'd love to know what the inciting incident was for the Airstream trailer.
Oh, I know. Only imagine the fact that he's out there just like banging, like, he's just
licking,
like,
ears. I mean,
piping down his girlfriend. Definitely not in a missionary way. There's no way they're having like,
yeah, no,
no,
Christian,
oh, fuck no,
sex. They're doing some weird stuff back there, and I'm sure there's no way they're quiet either. You know, you're hearing the Airstream is, that's metal too. There, it's rusty. It's making all sorts of noises out there. The poor kid.
When the Airstreams are rocking, don't come a knocking. That's
absolutely not.
That's what it is.
That is one thing I will say for those two is they definitely have a healthy sex life. That is the one thing I will say
for sure,
is that they definitely are fucking a lot. But yeah, it's a one thing about this episode is that I forgot that an element of this show is that If you are wife swapping, you must, it's not unlike the Santa Claus Tim Allen rules. You know, you put on the fucking Santa outfit, you have to be, you kill Santa, you have to become Santa. You put on the outfit, you have to become Santa. So like, you switch wives, that wife takes on your wife's life. So in this episode, where Andy Dick and Lorenzo Lamas swap partners, Andy Dick's baby mama has to do bottle service.
It's very funny.
Which is just a daggone shame.
me and Jamel did talk about this because it is very funny to imagine, if you will, you are a guy who pays for bottle service. These are your values. You're like, oh, I want some fucking, you know, I want some 21-year-old, you know, with a fake ass. Yeah, with a tight little body to come to my table. Yeah. Me and my boys, bottle with sparklers. You pay like $1,000 for bottle service, and then it's Andy Dick's baby mama.
Yeah.
Just being nice.
And a bunch of cameras.
I'm not here to be ageist on your program, but if I'm at the club, I'm at the club with some Purple Label shit on. Fully dead. I got a scarf on indoors. And you pull up on me, and you're like 42.
She's
I'm gonna be
38,
upset. I'm
Jamel.
Give me an extra bottle, man.
Oh my god!
Just give me two bottles for this.
Oh, yeah. Dude, the dynamics in this and the unspoken things are the funniest. Also, they're like, she's a bottle service waitress at LA's one of LA's hottest nightclubs, and they show it, and I'm like, I don't think this is one of LA's hottest nightclubs. I do not know where this place is. I also don't think it's in LA at all. I have a very strong feeling this is in Huntington Beach or something. You know,
Studio True. City, of course. Yes.
Yeah,
Amen. Yeah.
So the other thing, and by the way, Andy Dick's baby mama, I thought she was very sweet with her bottle service. She was just like, "Hi, can I interest you in some delicious rosé?" Like, I would have liked
she was
her
very kind.
Be my bottle
oh,
service.
She gave
waitress.
It her all. She, yeah. No, she's a gamer.
Yeah,
she's a gamer.
I'm just
for
talking
sure,
about but. The you know. The club ecosystem.
Oh,
know?
Yeah. No, 100%. 100%.
Yeah.
So,
you know.
So, back to the Lorenzo house. A funny thing to me is that we mentioned this, but it's one of the weirdest dynamics, is that they make a point of saying, like, when we... A big thing with us is when we walk the red carpet, we take pictures separately, and they phrase it as some kind of, like, independence thing, where it's like... I know that she's not just after me for my fame, which is like funny, by the way. Like okay, yeah. Lorenzo Lamas. All right, nobody was thinking that. First of all, nobody thought she was going after you for your public image. But then like taking pictures separately, I was also just like, wait, what red carpets are you walking on? Like what? And then they eventually show it in this weird scene. Where, like, it's one of the weirdest
D.
things.
Snyder.
Yeah, so he takes her in a stretch limousine, which I was cracking up at. Like, who takes a stretch limousine in 2020? Like, multiple times Lorenzo's calling a black stretch limo, and I was cracking up every time I saw it. And then he goes to, like, a small, basically, one of his friends is probably doing a screening of a movie.
At the Downtown Independent?
Yeah, literally, it was at, like, the Downtown Independent. Like... And like pulling up to a
I think it was actually at Cinefamily.
It was at the Silent that was at like the Silent the yeah. Cine Family Silent Theater, which is like
rest in power king, yeah.
Small. It's like we could, you know, it was too small of a venue for a yeah, but still live podcast. Put it that way, you know? It's like very tight knit situation. Red
nice,
carpet
nice little flex.
Not the right
nice
word.
Flex to toss
yeah.
in it.
But I was cracking up at the dynamic going on where like you could tell Lorenzo was like trying to give her a taste, be like, I'm going to give you a little taste of the good life. You know, we're going to get a stretch limousine. I'm taking you to the red carpet and you're going to meet Dee Snyder. And it's framed in the way of like, as if she's like some sheltered civilian from like the Midwest or whatever. It's like this woman dated Andy Dick and had a baby with him like in the 90s. Like Andy Dick was really famous. Like I'm sure that she's been
Absolutely.
In situations that would pale in the comparison to anything he's done. Like Andy Dick, like I guarantee that woman's walked like at the Oscars. She's been to the Grammys probably. Like Andy Dick's like was big. He was big. Like this woman's no stranger to a red carpet. I'm certain. And it was really funny to watch him.
I mean, yeah,
flex
people forget
D. Snyder.
How great he was.
No, yeah. Like it was such a strange move
he was
on his.
Great.
Sure. Yeah.
At one point,
and
he got his shit off. Hey, nobody said that.
He had. I mean, he was big. Yeah, it was weird watching him flex in that way. To watch him flex D. Snyder, he like made a point of introducing her to Dee Snider, and it was such a weird dynamic.
Also, the way the wife said it implied that they're going to red carpets all the time. Like, I can understand you sliding into maybe one every now and again, but they're going like
daily.
They might be going to one a week.
Yeah. I know.
Yeah, they're going to a lot of shit. I mean,
the daily burn.
You don't you don't have to walk that carpet.
No, yeah.
And plus, he sent her to Andy Dick's house in a Renegades dress. She was wearing a dress that said "Rent." You mean to tell me this lady don't want to be on no fucking red carpets? She is wearing your hit show from 1992.
I did not realize
on
that.
Her
That's
chest
so funny.
Right now, like a throwback jersey.
That is so funny.
God damn.
Yeah, because he's not like this. He's by no means a household name. The fact that you know who he is, Jamel, is by sheer chance. I'd say by the sheer will of the miracle that is a digital antenna.
It's
jailbroken
lucky.
It's antenna.
Lucky that you know who he is.
Yeah, it's like God sent Renegade to you.
Jamel has to get skedaddle.
Well,
for,
I just got the word. I got an extra 15.
That's
baby.
What's up. We can finish this.
Smooth. Okay. Yes,
all right,
sir.
Let's go.
Let's wrap this thing up.
So
legitimately, please.
So, it's just a weird.
We can do justice to this episode of Celebrity Wife Swap.
Yeah, it's such a strange dynamic going on here. Like, Lorenzo is just living a weird life. He has, like, this pool table. He's, like, kind of acts like a character he played on TV 40 years ago that, like, nobody even remembers.
We think, yes.
Not
we
40.
Don't
it was
30?
It was the 80s,
20,
bro.
30 years,
yeah,
then.
Late 80s, early 90s. He also has a very
By the
tiny
way,
chin,
that's
which I don't think we talked about enough.
35 years
and
ago,
he was,
probably.
Yeah, he was a hunk.
Yeah, he was a hunk, but, like...
Oh, no, you can't tell Renegade shit. He was that nigga.
Yeah.
So, okay, but it was the early 90s, actually. All right, so 30 years ago. Yeah. But, I mean, 30 years, you know. And, yeah, it's just very bizarre. He takes, like, he's kind of, like, flexing his lifestyle on her because I feel like there's a... It's weird because, like, they know who each other is. Like, he knows who Andy Dick is. So he's, like... doing this weird stuff, and it's like, dude, you have a sense of like what her lifestyle must be like.
He's treating her like Woody Allen treats Sun Yi in his audiobook. Okay.
Have you listened? I haven't listened yet.
And honey,
I haven't read or listened yet.
And I have. When you sign up for Audible, you get a couple of free credits. I didn't give money to the Woodman, but you know.
Okay.
Yeah, I listened to his story.
So, oh my gosh.
God damn.
Yeah, it's just very strange. And then I think like another funny dynamic is they didn't show this, but what's the over under on like the chances Andy Dick actively tried to have sex with the swapped wife, the 26-year-old? 100%. Like, I feel like that was 100%. Off. Like, he tried to bang her in the air screen. There's no question.
Well, that's something great.
Oh no, just, there's a cut scene where continue.
Oh wait, is she in the trailer at one point?
I assume there's a cut scene where she's in the trailer that we don't get to see. As you were saying, Brandon.
Andy.
Oh no, I.
Oh, we're tripping over each other.
Go ahead,
sorry,
Jack.
we're all tripping. I was just gonna say that
Zoom.
Andy doesn't.
Zoom.
He doesn't seem to me like a guy who doesn't take his shot. You know, he's gonna shoot.
Oh, he shoots every shot.
100%. Like, you can't pass him the ball. He's not gonna. He's gonna shoot no matter where he's standing. So I figure he at least shoots. Yeah, he shot. But it was not on camera. I just assume.
That's a great part of the Gilbert Gottfried Alan Thicke episode is that Gilbert does playfully shoot his shot immediately upon arrival.
Off.
He's like,
rip.
So when do we have sex?
You know, I also hate your husband. He fired me. And, yeah, he's like, he's just immediately like,
but
let's get this out front right now.
I mean, we originally were going to talk about it, but it's kind of, there's not as much meat as these other two episodes, but I will say, me and Jamel watched that. Gilbert and his wife come off amazing.
Yeah.
Gilbert, very, very frugal, kind-hearted soul.
I'm so glad you brought up frugal, Brandon, because I just want you to remember this episode next time we on the road and you try to have me stay at a goddamn boutique hotel. For $82 million,
I reimburse.
You did.
I reimburse.
You did, but I just remember.
I always reimburse.
I always laugh whenever I open Hotels Tonight whenever I look at hotels tonight, I'm like, Brandon is not going to stay somewhere ranked solid. He's just not going to do solid.
I mean, you know this.
I've experienced this too. I've watched him.
Yeah, be like, hey, we should stay at this hotel. I had this romantic night. Nigga, I am alone and opening for you. Don't make me spend all this money.
It's I reimburse later.
Brandon loves trying to just net $0 for a tour date. Just try to like balance it completely. He thinks the goal is like to try to hit zero.
You know what I mean? He's trying to get everybody right mentally. I see that it's all positive. You know what I'm saying?
I do love staying at a luxury hotel while performing at a fucking 200 capacity room.
Just like a sewer.
That isn't even full. It's 175 people showed up.
Just like a bookstore. Your hotel room's bigger than the venue. like it would be literally a better show if you just had the entire show in your hotel room that you booked. oh boy.
But yeah, Gilbert, great guy in that episode, has a dinner party where Paul Schaefer and Richard Belzer come over.
Oh my god, I almost cried.
That goes
cried,
crazy.
Dude.
Oh nice. That part went.
Wait,
they were.
You guys
were
into a different
together.
Episode now, by the way.
Oh yeah, true. We're just.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
This
I didn't mean
not,
you know, I'm getting ahead of myself.
Well,
here.
I think we decided we had a lot of things to say about that episode, but we didn't want to disparage the late Alan Thicke, and I think decidedly the situation is that it would be hard to avoid disparaging the Thicke household in this episode. It was I only saw 10 minutes or so, but we'll move on. Any final thoughts from the Andy Dick / Lorenzo Lamas episode?
I guess my main takeaway is it shouldn't be lost how small Lorenzo Lamas' face is.
Tiny.
You don't realize it when he is renegade because he has the long, luxurious, flowing locks.
Also,
but now that he's like an old dude with the crop joint, very small facial features.
Also, he looks like Marty Funkhauser a lot.
He's tiny.
Is the head big and then the face is small, or is it proportionately sound?
Man, you know, it's tough to say. He might just have a big ass head with normal.
He has a long. He has a long neck, dude.
Just, that's probably he's Merton Hanks. He's got a long one for sure.
This is I'm looking at it now. This is an extremely long neck, and he looks. I'm telling you, he looks like Marty Funkhauser from Curb, specifically that role.
Rest of extra, power as well. Damn. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
He's extra tan damn. In that Funkhauser way. Yeah,
yeah.
Yes.
Rest in peace. Yeah. Honestly, I'm sending you guys in the group
Super
chat.
Dave.
Like, look at the side by side situation. Like, they could be related. Could
I'm also
be related.
A little upset that we didn't get an update on Andy's girlfriend.
Mm-hmm.
She was in the episode.
Oh,
Where's she at?
I mean, she seems like a. She seems like a saint to me. Like I. She probably should not be on this show. Like, I think the fact that she's a contestant on this, I think she's generously watching over Andy Dick like a fifth child, you know? I think she adopted him more so than he's adopted her children. I'm pretty sure that, like, it's more of a situation where, like, they've been through enough where, like, she has a place in her heart that Andy will never lose, you know? And,
yes.
They've trauma bonded,
yeah. Yeah, I think, like, it is...
Oh, that's true trauma bonding.
Yeah.
That's true trauma bonding hours, yeah.
even if it's one-sided, who knows?
Who knows?
One-sided trauma bonding, also known as Stockholm Syndrome. But, yeah, so, I don't know. I don't have an update, but I would... Knowing what we know now, this might sound crazy, but I want to have Andy Dick on the pod. Is that a
you probably very easily could. I assure you.
Maybe not in my house.
Jack, I don't. I mean,
yeah, I don't know if.
I don't know.
Jack, Zoom over Zoom, maybe.
I don't know. I mean, I checked the Instagram after that episode, and there is the button says follow back, and I haven't clicked it because I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't know if I want to. I don't know. I don't know about opening that Pandora's box. I don't know if we should fucking. That's you know, maybe we shouldn't check in on Schrodinger's cat.
It's crazy. It was 9 years ago.
I don't know. Listen, you're kind of on pod discussing things that maybe we don't do that.
Should
Jack.
Be boundaried about this subject. Yes, of course.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, we'll see. I mean,
you heard it here first. Maybe. Yeah, but still featuring Andy Dick, August 5th.
2 p.m. as well. Yeah.
2 p.m.
Yeah, Jack, you can maybe that's a one-on-one pod.
Okay. That's true. Well, you know,
I don't know.
Either way, I mean, I won't be giving
him
intoxicants.
We'll discuss this later.
Look, all I know is that I'm interested to see what else Andy has to say. I'm neither endorsing it or condemning it. I just want the raw Andy Dick data. I want to hear more. I want to read more in that book.
It's a dangerous tango you're embarking on, my man. That is, yeah. Oof,
the book of death. Yeah. I want to read it.
Yeah, buddy. You're playing with fire.
I'm ready. I'm ready to burn.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know about all this.
All right. Well, honestly, I think that does it for this week.
Thanks for coming on.
I had a lot of fun. We found out a lot of things, mainly about Brandon. Things that maybe he's caused or not caused.
Once again, as his lawyer, I don't think Brandon can be held responsible for these things.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Comedy stories.
Yeah, we're talking about a fucking high school senior who was roped into Andy Dick's orbit.
Yeah, as a woman in the industry, I absolutely empathize with you. Yeah.
Facts, see?
Thank you. Yeah. And as an 18-year-old boy, at least in Andy Dick's eyes, I was basically a woman in the industry.
Yeah.
At the time.
Mm-hmm.
In a way.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that Andy Dick incident that's not happening to most comics, the comics my age.
Well, what I want to say about that comparison is you should be fully offended, Anna, because...
And I am, but when I hear something offensive, I kind of just...
You gotta just absorb it.
Yeah,
you just gotta take it in. I know about that. Hey, that's a black guy thing.
And then
I know about that.
Women's march on out of there, okay?
You know, I didn't want to end on that note. I didn't mean to, but... you know, any plugs for the road?
don't plug anything after that. You don't want to plug anything on top of that.
Yeah. Feel free to listen to me in court defending the shit I said on this show later.
Parody.
Yeah. You know,
comedy podcast.
This episode, this needs to be behind a paywall.
You wasn't wrong.
For everyone involved, this needs to be fucking locked in a fucking vault.
Excellent producer work right there, Brandon. Yeah. I'm gonna give you give you your flowers, bro. I ain't going to stunt on you like that.
Right. All right. Well, thank you guys for coming on. This is great.
Oh boy. All right.
Thanks for listening.